I don't know about you guys, but I think the 70s was the best music. Come on. I mean, you know, I really enjoyed those music of the 70s. Always and forever. I pray you guys all had a wonderful, safe, and sane 4th of July. I pray you really enjoyed it. I had a great week and just a lot of good things going on, and I'm excited about the coming week. But we're still in this marriage series. I mean, it's a rather long series. You know, I usually preach 3 to 5 sermons in a series, messages in a series, but for some reason, I guess marriage takes a lot of work. I don't know about you, but it takes a lot of work, and how do you work it out? And so this has ended up being a rather long series. There's like 10 messages or 10 messages in this series. And this morning, I kind of want to go with the idea. It's called Intimate Enemies. You know, we get married, and we watch all these movies as kids, and it says, and they lived, what does it say? Happily ever after. When is the ever after? You know, what do we do? What do you do in marriage when there's frustration? You know, what do you do when there's bickering? What do you do when there's anger? You know, what do you do when there's misunderstandings? What do you do when there's miscommunication? What happens in a marriage? It's called conflict. And we get married, and now all of a sudden there's conflict. You know, when you're dating, you may have little things, but, you know, you don't want to cause too much trouble because they'll run off, right? Yeah. But once you say, I do, you know, it's open warfare. You know, what's that old saying? All's fair in love and war. And you see that. And we talk like that. But how do we deal with it? You know, how do we deal with those conflicts? How do we deal with, you know, well, my wife and I, just so you know, we just, and she's not here. I can say a lot of things this morning. Because she's not here to defend herself. Vocal discussions. It's real fun now to drive around with the grandkids because Laura and I, you know, we don't really argue, but I'm sure anybody ever have this experience? Where do you want to go eat? Anybody ever have that one? Where do you want to go eat? Well, I don't care. Well, I don't care. Where do you want to go? I don't care. I'm not going to make the decision. You make that. Anybody ever go through that one besides Laura and I? And the kids in the back go, quit arguing. You know, Jules and Aubrey, you know, how do we deal with that? So this morning, I want to talk about how do you deal with conflict. Now, I'm going to really concentrate on marriage and some of those things about marriage, but wherever you're at, all your relationships, how do you deal with that? Yeah, I've seen this great mathematical equation. It went like this. One sinner plus one sinner equals one sinner. You know, because one and one, when we get married, you become what? One. And we're still what? We're still sinners. We still have those battles. And so how do we work this out? How do we walk through these situations? And, you know, those little quarrels, you know, those little setbacks, those little disagreements. How do we work through those? So I want to destroy 2 myths real quick. Just I want to nail these down, make sure you understand this. The first one is this. Good marriages do not have conflict. That's a myth. All right? It's a myth. Yeah. And we need to kind of step back and realize this. I want to ask you, do you ever fight? Anybody in your marriages, do you ever have a fight? Do you ever, you know, a little bickering? You know, it's really not a fight. We were just bickering a little bit. You know, it was just a rather vocal discussion, you know. So good marriages do have conflict. Things do go on. We have opinions. We have feelings. We have ideas. We have dreams. And they matter. And they're important to us. And so even in a good marriage, there's going to be conflict. And so if you're having conflict, don't think, well, we're weird. No, it's normal, all right? It's normal. The second myth is this, that conflict hurts good marriages. And that's a myth. You know, just so you know, many of you know the idea. Many of you have seen the pictures of Laura and I when we got married. You know, I was 21, Laura was 17, and I think many of you might know me. I got a very dominating personality. Would anybody think yes? Yeah, uh-huh. Thank you, Evie. And I got a very dominating personality. And when I married Laura, Laura was a very passive individual, the baby of the family. Now, do you think Laura's a passive individual now? Somebody that walk around and go around with Laura, is Laura passive now? Can you imagine what's gone on in our marriage through the years as my dominating and Laura's become more non-passive? Yeah, we've had some really fun discussions, wouldn't you say? Yeah. But, you know, here's what I want to make sure you understand. You know, when conflict comes, here's one of the two things that can happen. You can be and become stronger together, more intimate, or you become an isolationist. And you pull apart and you separate. Because, see, battles and fights are going to come and we're going to have those experiences. So really the question is, how do you handle it? How do you handle it? Because it's going to happen. I was reading the Bible. Can you imagine I'm reading the Bible? I was reading the Bible, and there's a story. I just think it as I was working on the message. Can you imagine the discussion Adam and Eve had after they ate the fruit? I mean, I you know, it's not in the Bible, but I just kind of wonder, what kind of discussion must they have? You know, hey, Adam, you better get some clothes. You know, I was just wondering, you know, whose fault is it? You did, you said, what did you do to me? You know, I just wonder what kind of discussion they must have had after all of a sudden they ate this fruit and their eyes were open and sin entered the world. There is one in the Bible, very early individuals. There's a guy named Abraham. Anybody know a guy named Abraham in the Bible? He had a wife named Sarah. Good, you guys are good. Did you know his name was Abram first? Did you guys know that? I'll give you a little trick question. He had a name called, his first name was Abram, and God changed it to Abraham. Her first name was Sarai, and God changed it to Sarah. And if you know the story about Abraham and Sarah, God had visited him, called him out, and gave him the promised land. And as he's journeying, God also told him they're going to have a rather large family, right? Anybody remember the story? They're going to have a rather large family. You're going to have multitudes of children, and his seeds are going to number as the sand on the sea. And he had all these pictures here. Well, they're getting a little old. Okay, now, I can say they're getting old because they were in their 80s and 90s, all right? You know, so that is, well, I got to watch it. That doesn't necessarily mean you're old. You know, I don't mean anything, Martha, all right? Yeah, but they're getting rather old, and there's no children. There's nobody, she's not having any children. She can't get pregnant. For whatever reason, she's not pregnant yet. God's promise is there, but she's not pregnant. So Sarah gets a really bright idea, if you're familiar with the story. Sarah goes, listen, I got a handmaiden over here. I'll have a surrogate mother. You know, it tells you how bright people are even today. I mean, that was in the Bible time. We see how well that worked out. Yeah. So she says, here, take my handmaiden. And so she gets pregnant. Now, look at the discussion. I think this is amazing. Then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. Wait a minute. You told me to do this. It was your idea. It wasn't my idea. What do you mean it's my fault? I can just imagine the discussion going on here. You know, I look at it. This is all your fault, Abram. This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms. Duh. But now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. Does it take a genius to figure this out? I'm sure nobody, in your arguments, you've never said anything like that, right? It's all your fault. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. We wouldn't have bought that. We wouldn't have did this. We wouldn't have gone here. We wouldn't, if it wasn't for you, it's all your fault. But then I like this. The Lord will show us who's wrong, you or me. I love this. God's going to make it right. God's going to show you I'm right and you're wrong. That's what she says. Yeah. And then look what he says. Abram replied, look, she's your servant, so do whatever you want. I look at this story, and I think this is just, we think we've changed. This is 4,000 years ago. And we're still the same. We still have these kind of fights. It's your fault. No, it's your problem. We haven't changed. I mean, look at this. Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. I mean, you know, here's this story. We think, yeah. Wait a minute. conflict is a reality. It's always there. Let me make it kind of a, maybe one that might be a little more identifiable. Jack and Jill. Let's talk about Jack and Jill. They fell down the hill, but they got up and they got married, all right? So Jack and Jill get married. They've been married for a while. They're in their 40s now, and Jack's got a friend named Bob, and Bob's going to have a birthday. And Bob's got this big old birthday party coming, and so they're sitting around. It's going to happen on Saturday, so it's Monday, Tuesday afternoon, evening, and Jill goes, you know, Bob, you know, Jack, it's Bob's birthday. We ought to get him a card, or maybe we ought to get him a gift. You know, he's your best friend, so we need to go pick up a gift and a card for your best friend Bob for his birthday on Saturday. Well, Jack goes, you know, we're a bunch of guys, man. We don't do that kind of stuff. You know, we don't exchange gifts. You know, we're older now. We're adults. You know, that's a kid's thing. You know, we don't do those kinds of things. You know, and so they have this discussion. Anybody ever have a discussion like that? You know, and so they're having this discussion about getting Bob a card and a gift or not to get Bob a card and a gift. Yeah, he's Jack's best friend. And they go, I'm going to give you three scenarios. I want you to pick one. All right. So as I go through these scenarios, you pick one that you would choose. All right. The first one is this. Jack goes, you know, you're right. Bob is my best friend. And I guess when you turn 40, that is a rather big birthday party. You know, that's rather a big event. So, yeah, let's get together and we'll go out and get him a card and pick up a gift for him. That's scenario number one, all right? Then there's scenario number two. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, I don't think we need to do that. But, you know, if you really feel we should do that, go ahead and go get him a card. If you want to pick him up a gift, go ahead and do it. You know, it doesn't matter. You just do whatever you want. You know, just take care of it. That's what you want. So that's scenario number two. Scenario number three is, Bob's my friend. It's none of your business. Leave it alone. I'm going to do what I want. You just let me take care of it. I don't think we need to get him a gift, nor a card. We're adults. Forget it. That's scenario number three. Okay, who wants scenario number one? Who thinks that's the best one? Who's going to take scenario number one? I got one hand, I got two, I got three, I got four, I got five, six. Okay, I got six, seven, eight. Okay, how many going to take scenario number two? I got one, two. All right. So the rest of you all take scenario number three. You guys are in big trouble. You better listen really intently today, all right? If that's your choice, now, you didn't raise your arm. That means you're number three, all right? You better pay attention. Get your pen out. Get your notes out, you know, because you're going to really need this one. If that's your choice, you're in trouble, all right? See, number one is really the best choice, okay? I think all of us would agree. At least I hope you would. I hope that wasn't a default answer, you know? Two is three is just an absolute put-down, all right? You know, how do we deal with conflict? You know, what do we do? So what I want to do is I'm going to look at some don'ts right off the bat. I want to look at some don'ts. Look at this scripture right here. I love this verse. It's not in your outline. You might want to write this down. It's Galatians 5:15. Somehow I raced it out of your outline there. But listen to what it says. If you go on hurting each other and tearing each other apart, be careful, or you will completely destroy each other. Isn't that, I mean, look at that. If you go on biting at each other, you go on devouring each other, you can find some great translations of this as it went about this. You devour each other, you're going to destroy each other. If you keep doing the things you're doing, you're going to destroy your marriage. You're going to destroy your relationships. So what are some of the don'ts? I got seven of them real quick. Let's look at seven of these. The first one is, don't ignore your anger. All right? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. We're going to look at that scripture in a little while. We get angry. Has anybody here ever not gotten angry? Well, you might want to call it righteous anger. Have you ever called it righteous anger? You know, we have fancy names for it. We get angry, you know, because things matter to us. Things are important to us, situations, circumstances, and all those things are important to us. And what we need to do is we need to admit it. You know, if you don't admit it, you're going to blow up like a volcano. You ever know anybody? They just hold it in, 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 and all of a sudden they just vomit all over everybody. You know, it's just blah, you know, and it's just everywhere. You know? We need to don't hold that anger in. Now, I want to make sure you understand. There's no room for abusive language or physical attacks. There's just no room. That is inappropriate anger, flat out. No room. But we must admit that, you know what? I'm mad about this. Now, I'm sure none of you, well, we'll get to that point in a minute, but admit, don't ignore that there's anger. What's another don't? Don't call in the heavy artillery. All right? It's not about who wins and who loses. I'm going to win this fight. You call in the heavy artillery. You know, I'm going to leave. Or the big D word. This is one thing I tell people all the time when I talk about marriage and things. Never use the D word, not even in joking. Not even playing around, not even teasingly. Never use the D word. Now, you know what the D word is, right? Divorce, okay? Just don't use the word. Don't bring in this heavy artillery. I'm going to blow them up. Unconditional surrender. I'm the winner. It never works. Don't bring in that heavy artillery and blow them apart. Because if you wipe them out, you're wiping out your marriage. And you're wiping out the relationship. Number three, don't air your dirty linen in public. Fight behind closed doors. And, you know, here's one of the habits we have. I don't know about you, but I love being right. And I am right 100% of the time. Ask Laura, she'll tell you. Oh, she's not here. We like being right. And so, you know, here's what we try to do in our relationships. We try to create what I call triangles. It's like, I'll tell my friend, I'll tell my mom, I'll tell my dad. And don't you agree? Isn't Laura being a pain? Isn't Laura wrong? Come on, don't you agree with me? And so I create this little triangle over here, and we do that. You know, it's like, see, I was right. See, even Joe says I'm right. See, even Peter says I'm right. See, you're wrong. They all say I'm right. We create these triangles, and we create these relationships like this. And so don't air your stuff in public. In the public, don't do that. I'll give you a little hint here. You know, most of the time, 99% of the time, you're going to work through those issues. But sometimes, that best friend of yours, that parent of yours that you told about going on in your marriage, they haven't worked through it, and they still don't like that person. And now you're married to somebody your mom and dad don't like because they said something and you told them that you shouldn't have told them, and now your mom and dad don't like them because they treated you bad and they can't get over it. You got over it and you moved on. Keep your mouth shut. Don't air your issues and your dirty linen in public, all right? Don't do it. I mean, anybody remember clotheslines? Anybody? I remember having the clothes. I used to have that pole in the center that would spin around. Anybody? We'd play on that. Don't air your dirty laundry in public. Number four, don't paint yourself into a corner. Don't paint yourself. Don't back them up and back them up and push them into a corner that you paint yourself into. If you don't do that, I will. If you don't, if you quit, if you, I will. You paint yourself into a corner. And so don't paint yourself into a corner where there's no response and no way to get out. Don't use the turtle approach. Anybody know what a turtle is? What does a turtle do when a turtle's under attack? Kind of sucks its way into that little shell and all of that. Well, don't use it. You know, I don't know too many guys that do this, but I've seen a lot of women do this. Now, I'm not going to pick on the women. Guys have their own one. The silent treatment. Anybody? I'm not going to talk to them until they apologize. Until they tell me they're sorry. They're going to have to make the call first. Or how about this one? You know, you ever had that discussion during the day and you go to bed and you stay on your side and they better stay on their side and you're sleeping 6 inches apart and your feet better not touch me? Yeah. Come on now. You guys are laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. You know, you're upset and it's like, hey, you know, yeah, we're in the same bed, but I'm going to sleep over here on this edge. Yeah. Listen, it doesn't work. Don't keep a chip on your shoulder either. I really wrestled with how to title this one. Words like, You always. You never. Every time. You know, we get a little chip on our shoulder that, you know, it's you. It's all about you. And we get this little chip on our shoulder and we just kind of overstate. Hyperbole may be a good word in there. We just kind of make a mountain out of a molehill or something. And the last one is, I like this one, don't use sex as a weapon. Yeah. Well, we're not going to have sex until. Yeah. I'll show her, I'll show him. Yeah. Let me tell you, that one sometimes, just so you know, I've seen this, it backfires. Because you're not going to have sex, but I'm going to go out and have sex with somebody else. I'll teach you. I'll have an affair. It just doesn't work. All right? These are the don'ts. Don't do these things. If you do, you will tear your marriage apart. You will tear your relationships apart. These are the don'ts. So what do you do? Well, I got another scripture. Look at this next scripture, would you? Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and humble-minded. Do not repay evil for evil or rivaling for rivaling, but on the contrary, bless for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Don't do these things. Be a blessing. You know, if somebody does it to you, you don't have to respond in the same way. You can rise above it. You can do better. And I really like that passage. Don't repay evil for evil. You know, rise above those situations. You don't have to live there. But what are some practical things? I just had little four practical things. Just some things that can really make it work. Some things that can really have a benefit of it. And I begin, be angry, but don't sin. You know, you're going to have conflict. That's just the reality. Like I said, I love that little symbol when I was reading this book, and it says one sinner plus one sinner equals one sinner. I just love that image because we're sinners. We're sinners. And when you put two sinners together, is that going to make, you know, do two negatives make a positive? Well, in math it does. But that's about it. Yeah. When you get two negatives together, you're going to double the negative. And so now you got two sinners together, and that's going to really... I always see some marriages, and my comment is, I think marriages is like sandpaper. We're just sanding on one another. Yeah. And that's kind of the image I like to paint. You know, we're just kind of sending rough edges on one another, and the more we do, and the more we work through all these issues, you know, we start to fit together better. Does that make sense? You know, you kind of rub each other in different places, and pretty soon you just start fitting together. You know, little things that used to be a little rough spot, all along, you know, it's no longer a little rough spot, you know, and so, you know, maybe it's not as important, or maybe you kind of agree a little bit more. Isn't it funny how opposites attract? You ever notice that? You ever wonder why does it always work out that way? You know, it's just like these opposites attract, you know, and then that really makes it fun. You know, and that's that sandpaper kind of stuff. So be angry and sin not. And I want to say you need to, you know, settle it before the sun goes down. If I want to read on, it says get it done before the sun goes down. Don't go to bed mad, I've always said. You know, don't go to bed mad. So here's some things I think we could do. First, talk and listen to God. Is there one word for that one? Anybody got an idea for one word? All right, somebody said it. You pray. You need to talk and listen to God. Now, I made sure I put listen in there because we need to hear from God. I've shared this story before. I've never forgot. It was last year or maybe a year and a half ago. There was a situation that I was working on and I needed to deal with. And so I was walking, and so I got up that morning, and I went on my walk, and I was talking with God, and I was listening to God, and we're walking, and I'm talking, and I walk for like 45 minutes to an hour, and I walk all the way around, and I was just walking, talking to God, and I was working in my head, how can I deal with this situation? You know, how do I deal with this conflict? How do I deal with this circumstance? What am I going to do? And in my head, I had worked out this scenario, you know? And I got it all worked out. It's been 45 minutes or so, and I walk all the way around, you know, all the way through my neighborhood, down Tombs Road, heading down Covert Road. I'm getting ready to turn the corner to go into my neighborhood. I got maybe 5 minutes to go. And so I get ready, I turn that corner, and you know what I hear? I hear this. Now you're not saying a word. We just worked all this out of how I'm going to say it. What do you mean we're not saying a word? You know, I had talked to God. We had worked it out. This is how I could respond. This is how I could speak to it. This is how we could work with this issue. This is what we could do. I had it all worked out in my head. I can go and I can make that phone call. I can deal with the situation. It's all figured out. And I turn that last corner. I hear God say, "Now you're not saying a word." Then why did we waste this last 45 minutes, God? Why did you let me worry and talk and do all this for 45 minutes, and now you're telling me you're not saying a word? Well, I didn't. And the problem resolved itself. Yeah. But we talked to God, and here's many of our prayers like this. God, change my wife. You know, God, change my kids. Man, God, change my kids. I'm going to hear God up there maybe going something like this. Yep, you know, we're going to work on that. But you know what? I think I'm going to start with you. Yeah. I think that's how, you know, isn't it funny how we feel God needs to work on somebody else, but God says, you got to start with you. Yeah. We need to talk and listen to God. Look what the scripture says. It's a really nice verse here. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I want you to circle that. That you may be healed. You want a healing in a marriage, you need to talk to God and pray and spend time with God. The prayers of a righteous person has great power as it is working. See, I just want to encourage, talk to God. Here, let me write this down. Talk to God before you talk to your mate. How does that go? Does that make sense? Talk to God before you talk to them. Pray about it and then listen to God. Because the next one that says talk to your mate, that one's pretty easy. Talk to your mate. Talk to your spouse. Talk to that husband. Talk to that wife. Talk, you know, and those other relationships you have, this would be called communication. Duh. That's the opposite of the silent treatment, right? We need to talk to them. But how you talk is important, all right? Look at what it says here. I like this scripture. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I think starting out the conversation like Sarai did, "It's all your fault," is probably not the best way to start the conversation. All right? I just think you got off on the wrong foot already. All right? You need to step back and think about, what are my words? Am I going to choose positive words? Am I going to choose encouraging words? Am I going to choose edifying words? What am I going to choose? No retaliation. You know what? Here's what usually happens. Somebody says something, we get hurt, and what do? We fire right back. We retaliate. We shoot right back on them, and we go at them, and then there's insults, and then there's injury, and then there's hurts. And instead of making the situation better, we usually make the situation worse. The book of James has a great conversation. Dan and I had talked about it. He was going to use some of this in his message on communication, because the book of James has a great conversation, and he talks about how powerful the tongue is. You know, you see these great big ships out in the ocean right now, and you know what that ship turns on? Just a little bitty rudder. Yeah. You get on this big bad horse, and it talks about this horse you can ride, and it's got all it has is controls the horse's little bit in its mouth. And it talks about how powerful our tongues are. It talks about how, you know, it only takes a spark to start a fire. He says that's all your tongues can be, that spark to start the fire. And so we need to talk to our spouse, but we need to talk to our mate, and we need to talk encouraging, benefiting, blessing words, and speak to them in those terms and share those terms. The third one I put down here is this. Seek to understand before being understood. This is hard for me. All right, I don't know about you, but for me, I want them to understand how I feel. I want them to understand what I'm saying. I want them to understand what I mean. And when they understand what I mean, then we can have a conversation. Because if they don't know what I'm trying to talk about, how can we have a conversation? We need to try to understand them. Try to understand our spouse, understand our mate, understand our kid, understand that relationship. And in marriage, we need to try to understand them. Insecurities, hurts and past hurts and past experiences. I like the 3 B's that we had in one of our 40-day studies. We're getting ready for another 40-day. I like the 3 B's we did in one of our 40-day studies, the relationships of Jesus. I like that 4 B's, the backgrounds, battles, and burdens. You know, understand the backgrounds, battles, and burdens. Maybe there's something in their past that made it, when you said a certain word, you know, here's what I really believe. I believe there's certain key words that I could say that could start a fight with Laura that had nothing to do with Laura and I, but it's a word that triggered something in her mind of years ago in the past. You know, it would be just a trigger word that brings back maybe a bad experience, something happened. I believe those kind of, I believe, you know, I believe I can wear certain clothes and just by the appearance and, you know, a certain clutter, a certain thing, because we've had, it sends an image to our brain that a negative experience we had in the past that just clicks, that makes it trigger for us. I really believe that kind of stuff. And we need to think about that. What's going on in their life? And then, why am I reacting like this? Why does that make me so angry? Why does that tick me off so much? Why am I angry today? You know, I need to understand myself. You know, I got to seek this understanding first. And then after I understand, then maybe I can be understood. I think this is a challenge because we always want them to understand us first. You got to understand what I'm saying. You ever say that in those discussions? You don't understand. Let me explain it to you again and we'll go over it again. And we need to step back and just kind of let it go and say, okay, let me understand what you're saying. And those kind of things. And the last one I put down here, make confession and forgiveness a priority. Make confession and forgiveness a priority. Look at the scripture. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Admit the mistakes. Be honest with yourself and honest with them. You know what? I was wrong. Well, I was. Can anybody say wrong? Yeah. Like I say, I'm right 100% of the time. Guaranteed. You can ask Laura. Oh, she's not here. But I'm right. I'm always right. Yeah. No. I make mistakes. Sometimes I'm going to give you some words that can bless your marriage. Here it is. Just really good. Here's some great words. I am sorry. Man. You know what kind of miracle that brings? You know what kind of healing that can bring? I am sorry. I'm sorry you made me say that. I'm sorry you did that. Well, I'm sorry you took it that way. Come on. Put the period after sorry, all right? I am sorry. Confess it. I screwed up. I messed up. I wasn't thinking. It didn't communicate well. You know, a lot of my problem is I think I communicated when I really didn't. Anybody understand that one? I thought I explained myself. I thought I was clear. I thought everybody understood, but I guess I messed up. I'm sorry. Yeah. Here, let me add a little another phrase to that. Here's some other words that can really bless. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Most of the time we want to explain, I'm sorry, but this is what I was thinking, and this is what I did, and this is why I did it. Quit it. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? The miracle and the healing of those words. Look at the scripture. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. I mean, I think this fits marriage really well. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Put all this other stuff aside and forgive. I did one of the other messages we've already preached was on forgiveness. And I'm going to be honest, I think it was a really good message. I don't know what you thought, but I enjoyed it. And I think it's on the internet. You can go home and listen to it. And have a whole message on that. How do you forgive and how do you work through it? Because when you forgive, doesn't mean you're going to forget it, right? I mean, you know, things just don't erase out of our minds. It's always there. And you might have to forgive it many times. If you remember that message, there was many times you might have to forgive it over and over again, but you got to keep forgiving it. Every time it pops up, say, I already forgave that. And put it out of your mind. And so you can go plug in and listen to that message and kind of see what it has to say. But you need to confess and forgive. You got to let it go. See, conflict is a reality in our marriages. It's going to happen. Guaranteed. It might happen on the way out of this place today. Where are we going to go eat? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go eat? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go? It might happen for some of you as you drive out of this place. I don't know where we're going to go eat, and you're going to bicker over where to go eat. I've been there. You know, I always tell Laura, food to me doesn't matter. If we're not going to Taco Bell, pick wherever you want to go. It doesn't matter. You know, just if you're not going to go to Taco Bell, just tell me where you want to go. I don't care. But I've had those discussions driving down the road. I'm not going to turn until you tell me where we're going to turn. Come on, am I the only one that does that now? Come on, you know. You're picking because I'm not going to pick. And we're going to drive down the road until you say. Or this one really works. I'm going to drive down the road to Taco Bell until you tell me to go somewhere else. Conflict is a reality, and it's going to happen. Hopefully and perfectly, it's over the little things like that. But sometimes there's going to be some major issues, and we need to talk and listen to God. We need to seek to understand before we seek to be understood. We need to talk and communicate with one another. And we need to confess and to forgive. See, I think it's a beautiful picture here because it's going to happen. It's a reality. It's normal. If you're not fighting, I don't know what to tell you because, well, you're not normal, all right? Because it's going to happen. It's how you deal with it. It's how you go through it. And I want to challenge you. Here's the last scripture. Put on this, as God's chosen ones. I'm saying this, even Christian marriages have fights. Can you believe that? Christians fight? Whoa! As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, I like that part, if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I think that's a beautiful passage to summarize what it should be in a marriage. I just look at that. Chosen, beloved, holy, compassionate, tender-hearted. And when a mistake comes, and when that conflict happens, that situation, those words, whatever it may be, forgiveness. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? God wants to bless our marriages. God wants to bless all our relationships. But it's up to us. We're one sinner plus one sinner does not equal no sinners. It doesn't work. In a marriage, one plus one equals one, and it's always going to end up a sinner. But God can bless when we surrender to Him. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for Your words and what You mean in our life, that You have forgiven us, that You've washed our sins away, and that we're forgiven sinners. But Lord, still we're sinners. In the midst of that, Lord, we battle within our families and our lives and our relationships. Sometimes it's at work. Sometimes it's with our children. Sometimes it's with our spouse. Lord, we have these battles that go on. Lord, we want them to make us better, not bitter. We want them to draw us closer together in more intimacy and not push us apart into isolation. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us love as You've loved. Help us have compassion as You have compassion. To have understanding as You have understanding. To have mercy as You have mercy. Lord, help us love those that are about us. And let love be the theme of our marriage, of our home. In the midst of the conflict, let the mercy and love of God rule. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.